ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hello, how are we all doing today on this fine fall Tuesday in New York City? It is Evan and Tiki. The Blue Jays are going to the World Series. Congratulations. The NBA season starts. More on that later. We'll get into the brilliance of Jackson Dart. But my owner, the owner of the New York Jets, decided to speak today. And normally, when these owners speak, whether it's Steve Cohen, or it's Hal Steinbrenner, or it's John Mara, or it's Joe Tsai, or it's James Dolan, it's like, all right, I want to hear you after a season is over. So you can kind of give me the lay of the land. But I was actually curious to hear from Woody Johnson today, because his football team is a disaster. His football team is a disaster on the field. His football team is a disaster off the field. His football team decided to, hey, since no one's going to come to the game on Sunday, let's charge everybody $100 for parking. We'll get to that later. So as a Jet fan, I found myself, oh, Woody is at the fall owners meetings. He'll answer some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, just maybe, he can make us feel better about the state of the New York Jets. Maybe he can. Do you think he did?
Probably not. Probably not.
Let's hear.
Hard. It's hard when you're 0-7 to make anything feel better.
Yeah, it is a challenge when you're 0-7 to like wave a magic wand and make us smile. But here is an excerpt of what Woody Johnson had to say. Because one of the big things Woody's being asked about is the embattled head coach. Hey, the team is 0-7. Aaron Glenn looks in over his head. Do you still believe in Aaron Glenn? Let's take a listen to Woody, and let's all have an open mind. Maybe he's going to instill confidence in us as Jet fans.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that we've got, you know. He has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach of a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. You have to play consistently at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do for the remainder of the season.
So what gives you hope then?
I just think defense, special teams are doing better. Defense is pretty good. And if we can just complete a pass, it would look good. You got to complete some passes. You got to convince them that you can do something. Otherwise, it's hard to have a game that you can win.
I want to say this about Woody Johnson, Tiki, before we continue. I have never met Woody Johnson. Mm-hmm. I have never shook his hand. I've never had a conversation with him. I don't know him as a human. I know him the way most of the audience knows him, and that's by listening to him speak to us about the football team he owns. he sounds like a drunk uncle at the bar explaining why a football team is bad.
Absolute buffoon,
I mean,
idiot.
He's talking about the quarterback rating of the quarterback that you guys brought in.
Yeah.
The guys you hired brought him in.
You think he was taking a shot at Muji?
Maybe. Then he talks about he's got ability, but it's not jiving. Then he's like, what are we going to do? Why do we have hope? Like, that made me go backwards. Like, I heard that clip, and I'm already depressed as a Jet fan. And I hear it, and I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to suck for the next 500 years. Like, and I don't think he's a bad guy.
No. You know what? I think he's trying to just be honest. He's trying to say it as he sees it. And that's what he should do. Just call it like you see it. That's what I try to do. Just call it like you see it. And but he's kind of wrong on his quarterback.
Yeah.
Because Justin Fields, who hasn't thrown an interception yet, and three of his five games, six games, he missed one. Three of his five games, he's had a rating over 100. But that first game against Dallas, he was damn near unbelievable, right? His rating was 119. That's pretty good. Threw for 218 yards and a touchdown. He was 72% of his passes were completed. That was the game where we were like, man, Justin Fields might be good. He followed that up with a tough rating game because his rating in game two against the Buffalo Bills was 39.
You're looking at the wrong rating, Teak. He meant the Madden rating.
Yes, that may be right. But just the one that matters.
Yeah.
The next two games, he had a rating over 100. Like, he's played okay. He's not fully the reason that they're losing. So it's almost like he's making Justin Fields a scapegoat. Now, the last two games have been horrendous. You know, 50% completion percentage. He's looked inept these last couple of games. But on whole, his rating isn't gross.
But the problem with trying to make Justin Fields the scapegoat is that your administration that you're trying to show faith in invested money in him.
Right. And
they handpicked him.
And bid against nobody.
Right.
Because, I mean, I guess other than the Steelers who wanted to bring him back, but they probably wanted to bring him back on a $3 to $5 million per year deal.
Yeah, they were probably bringing him back in a different role, maybe even to be a backup.
Right.
But, like, to bash Justin Fields feels so disingenuous because the guys you handpicked signed him. The guys you handpicked decided to give him the guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. The guys you handpicked decided to start him without a competition. Which, if you go all the way back to July, I didn't scream about it, but I remember saying to you, why not make it a competition?
Right.
Like, why not? I mean, why is Justin Fields being handed?
Adrian Martinez.
Well, it's Tyrod Taylor, really.
Well, he was hurt in the preseason.
No, but even before he got hurt.
Oh, got it.
Like, he was asked, I think it was upon signing Fields, so go back even further to April. Hey, is he the quarterback? They easily could have said, it's a competition. So this administration that Woody Johnson is defending, they're the deciders on Justin Fields. And one other thing about Justin Fields, since we all love to blame the dead guy, that's what we do in sports. We blame the guy who we're not going to play anymore, the guy we fire, the guy that's not there anymore. And let's be honest, Justin Fields is never playing another game for the New York Jets.
Yeah,
his time is done.
Woody just announced that he's not the starting quarterback
anymore. Course he did. He urinated all over him. That's what he did.
Right.
But here's the other thing, Woody, I want you to understand. Last year, Justin Fields won games.
Mm-hmm.
He was 4-2 as a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when you talk about, well, no coach could win with Justin Fields, that's essentially what he said. You're wrong, sir. Mike Tomlin did.
Yeah, but I think the way Justin Fields is playing this year is a lot different. So no one can win with the way that your quarterback has played these last 2 weeks. That's for damn sure.
You know what? In general, you may be right, but I'm not fully convinced of it because I've seen better coaches get more out of him.
Yeah, I mean, well, they allow him to do things that he does really well, which is if it's not there, use your legs. Get some scramble yards. Keep yourself in second and third and manageable as opposed to second and third and forever. Don't take 9 sacks or how many did he take? 5 last week? 4 sacks he took last week? Whatever it was. You've taken double-digit sacks in 2 weeks. Is that all on him? Probably not, but some of it is. He just has to play better and put him in position to find success. I've always said this with quarterbacks, young, old, doesn't matter. Put them in position where they feel good about what they're doing, and it just begets more success.
Yeah.
But the Jets haven't put him in position to be successful.
Right. It's a combination.
Right.
It's not just Justin Fields stinks. It's the coaches. And Aaron Glenn admitted this the other day, and I appreciate that he did. The failure's on him, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to hear this owner. First of all, he tells us, parts of the franchise are being turned around. Can you please explain to us which parts of the franchise are being turned around? Like, I'd love to know that part. You say parts of the franchise. Well, your relationship with your fan part isn't turning around.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal Ark machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Because all I heard at the game on Sunday from loyal season ticket holders is that you treat them like garbage. That's what I've heard. Whether it's price increases, whether it's how quick you have to pay, whether it's ARP charging on parking, whether it's going on a Where's Waldo search to get the yearbook. All I hear, Woody, from your customers, from your loyal fans, or for the sake of this, we'll call ourselves loyal schmucks, is that you're bad at this. Mm. You're not turning that part of the organization around. The on-the-field product hasn't turned around. And I admit, Teak, we're not there behind the scenes to see practice habits, right, what's going on behind the scenes. But no Jet fan is seeing this turnaround that you're describing. So when you say it, just because you say it doesn't make it true.
Yeah, it's got to translate to Sundays. Now, with that being said, there have been some coaches, we were just talking about this before the show, that have had horrendous starts to their first years as head coaches in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan is probably the most prominent one that we can think of now, because he feels like no matter what happens, no matter who gets hurt, no matter what your quarterback situation is, Brock Purdy is Mr. Irrelevant, they find ways to win.
Right.
And part of that's because their rosters are constructed well, but he was 0-9 to start his career. Now, he finished that season strong. They finished 6-10, so he was 6-1 over his last seven weeks. So you saw the turnaround happen. The question is really for right now, for Aaron Glenn and Daryl and Muji and the off and Engstrand and everybody there. When are we seeing the turnaround?
Well, that's important.
Like, when is the okay, we've got it moment? Because if that doesn't happen, that's when you start worrying. Man, is this it's not going to be a one and done. That's not on the cards. But when do we stop believing that this head coach is going to get it at some point? Whatever you've been preaching has to translate into Sunday afternoons, right? And Zach Taylor, same way. He was bad for 2 years. Part of it was because his highfalutin quarterback that he drafted his second year got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But right after that, they were really good. Then they went to the Super Bowl.
The problem with Zach Taylor and Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Shanahan and Bill Parcells mm-hmm. is that they are not the rule. They're the exceptions.
No, you're right.
Most of the time, right. Coaches that get off to 0-7 starts, 0-9 starts, 2-14, or in this case, 2-15 starts, they don't have this great story
that gets finished. But there also hasn't been a lot of them.
Who get off to bad starts?
To get off to 0-4 starts.
No, a lot of them haven't, but more times than not when you do, you don't turn it around.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to fire Aaron Glenn, nor was I looking for Woody Johnson to say he's going to fire Aaron Glenn. I'm not looking for that. I guess what I'm looking for is an owner to actually be on the same planet as its customers. Mm. And he sounded like he's in a different world.
Yeah.
I know he's in a different financial world, but in terms of like seeing what we're seeing and feeling our pain, like, I was never the biggest Bill Clinton fan, but one thing Bill did very well in his campaign in 1992 is he felt your pain. He looked at the American people and said, I feel your pain. And then he felt a few other things. But I almost need my owner when the team is 0-7 and you're upcharging fans and fans are as pissed off at this franchise as they've ever been. I need a little, I feel you.
Yeah.
Not a
yeah.
little, you don't see it, we're turning it around, let me go bash Justin Fields. Like, give me a, guys, I get it. I'm pissed off, too. I feel your frustration. But I promise you, things are turning. I promise you, you're not seeing it,
right.
but the pendulum is changing. And I can also promise you this, customers, if it doesn't change,
mm-hmm.
I'll make the changes needed.
Yeah, yeah. And again, we can't know that because we're not, this is a very closed team right now. It doesn't feel like there's access. Aaron Glenn isn't very forthcoming most of the times. It's almost like he's defending what's going on there. He's trying to defend probably his reputation in a lot of ways, but there's a way to do that. You can't be dismissive and come off as angry. You kind of have to be understanding and saying, look, this is a process. Tell us, it's a process. And also, to your point, Evan, and you're 100% right about this, tell us what we're not seeing.
Yeah, what are we not seeing?
Tell us what is going right that we're not paying attention to or just not aware of because we're distracted by the grossness that is not being able to score points in two consecutive weeks.
Now,
like, tell us that.
Yeah, because it would make us feel better. Now, to Beningo and everyone else who says he's got to sell, let's have a quick conversation about the he's got to sell
talk.
Not
happening, by the way.
Here's why it's really not happening. Like, really, 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 really not happening. And I remember talking to you months ago about these numbers. But they matter.
Right.
In the NFL, the revenue that these owners bring in are coming from the TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming from you protesting by not showing up at MetLife Stadium. If that makes you feel better to not go to MetLife Stadium, you have every right not to. I wouldn't force you to go. The product mm-hmm. sucks. But if you think, especially in football, this isn't baseball, where it actually could make a difference.
Yeah.
Or even basketball, where to a lesser degree, it could make a difference. In football, Woody Johnson's laughing. He's laughing because the revenue that's brought in comes from a TV deal. So do I understand the sentiment of, boy, I wish he sold the team? Sure.
Right.
He's a terrible owner. The results are the results. In terms of wins and losses, he's a terrible owner because I know people could say, well, he's a great owner. They make a ton of money.
Yes,
I'm not even basing on that.
From a business standpoint, it's a great. And again, by the way, this is almost any team. So it doesn't even matter, any market, you're going to be successful simply because you have a licensing agreement with for $100 billion for TV revenue.
Yeah, you can't screw it up.
You almost can't screw
it up. But
no on-field product,
it's horrible.
That's what matters.
As an on-field product, he's the worst. And nothing's going to change that because even listening to this press conference or this media kind of gathering he had at the Falls owners meetings, the New York Jets are his toy. That's what it is. Mm. It's a plaything for him. So us being upset, which we have a right to be, and we could talk about it all day on Sports Talk Radio or tweet about it, it isn't going to cause him to sell the team. Unfortunately, what we need is we need the blind squirrel to find a nut. And in this case, Woody Johnson is a blind-ass squirrel, and I'm hoping Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugey are the nut. Because you know who wasn't the nut? Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
You know who wasn't the nut? Adam Gase. You know who wasn't the nut? Eric Mangini. You know who wasn't the nut? I could do this all day.
Right.
Todd Bowles at first.
Yes.
Because it looks like
now he's pretty good, even though they lost last night.
No, I know. So we just need him to find the right guy, and we are 7 games in, and it's tough to believe they have the right
guy.
Yeah,
they got
to
find things that they can champion, talk positive about. And the defense has been one these last couple weeks. The problem is it comes with a caveat. The Denver Broncos do not have a good offense. The Carolina Panthers do not have a good offense. Because the ones before that, they gave up 37, 27, 20, and whatever they gave up to the Steelers, 34 to the Steelers.
But there's another caveat to this. Not only are those teams, they don't have good offenses, because I understand the Jet defense held opponents to 13 points in 2 straight weeks, and that's really, really cool. You said this about Denver, and I'll say it about Carolina. I'll say it about every team. If you are facing an offense like the New York Jets, why are you taking shots?
No, you're not. If the offense is inept and they're not going to beat you, meaning you don't believe that the opposing team's offense can beat you, why would you do anything other than score 12 points?
And isn't that a contributor to why they've only allowed 13 points in the last 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah. We saw it in London. There was zero risk taken by Sean Payton.
Because you realize you don't have to take risks against this offense.
Don't screw it up. That's all you got
to
do.
Here's what Woody Johnson said to fans that have lost hope, okay? This is a direct quote because some of the audio from this is not really legible or hearable, so I'll just read it to you. Woody Johnson on what he would say to fans that have lost hope. So, Joe B., this is for you. Bro, Woody, I've lost hope. What do I do? Here's what he says. If they're a true Jets fan, that's not a question you ask. They've been at it for a long time. They know exactly what's going on. I think they're the smartest fans in the world because they know what's going on.
I can't take it.
Woody, what's going on?
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
What are you saying to us?
What do you think he's saying? What do you think he's saying that they know what's going on? What's he alluding to?
You really want me to tell you?
Yeah. You are a Jet fan.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He's talking about you.
Yes.
What is he talking about?
They're a bunch of morons. My fans are idiots. They are suckers.
Stop.
They are losers. They will never stop watching this team. So they know we suck. They've sucked for 57 years. They know that. So what do I tell them? I tell them what's different.
Jet fans are dumb.
And just keep on going. I'm not going to lose the long-term sucker. The long-term sucker isn't going anywhere. The people who sit behind me at MetLife, they're brother and sister. They've had the season tickets in their family for like 50 years. Where are they going? Where are people? So what he's saying to all of the diehard Jet fans, not the casuals who are going to come in and out, what they are saying, what he is saying to Beningo and BT and myself and everybody in 314 is you're a bunch of idiots. You're going to watch anyway. You're going to buy a dopey jersey anyway. You're going to give me some money anyway. And by the way, even if you don't give me your money, that's fine. We make a ton off the TV revenue.
Right.
We'll still be here. So he's basically laughing at us. That's what I take out of that.
I don't think he's laughing. I just don't think he realizes what he's saying.
They know exactly what's going on. Do you tell me, Teague, what's going on?
I don't know. But I think he assumes that the Jet fan is going to just wait and be patient. The problem is that the Jet fan has been patient for way too long. And not that it's going to do anything and to scream and yell. What are they going to have? They're going to hold protest outside of MetLife Stadium on game day? Like, what are they going to do?
Fly planes?
I mean, they could, but that's a ridiculous waste of money. I don't know why people do that. But what are they going to do? He's not selling the franchise. He's not firing the coach. He's got to wait for this thing to get better. And the only way that's going to get better is when you find your quarterback. And we've seen it over and over and over again. The perfect example is the team you share the stadium with. The New York Giants have found the quarterback, and despite being 2-5, there is a sense of hope. There is a belief that things are going to turn the corner pretty soon. Until that happens for the Jets, the fan is going to be disgruntled, period.
Let's get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. And speaking of that quarterback, how good is that quarterback going to be? We examined Jackson Dart and what was a very underrated, almost forgettable performance from this past Sunday in the loss to the Denver Broncos. I had a very busy morning. Not only was I at Citi Field watching Pete Hoffman take batting practice, but I was putting my finishing touches on my NBA predictions. And much later on in the show, we'll say at 6 o'clock, I'll unveil some of those around the Knicks and Nets, but more importantly, the NBA Finals. And if you guys want to join in, I don't want to put pressure on you.
NBA Finals.
That's right. Tonight, the NBA season starts.
Are you sure it's starting? There's no East Coast teams playing.
That is, well, you got to wait till tomorrow. Knicks, Cavs, the Beasts of the East are tomorrow. But tonight, we get the Peacock debut, and we get Oklahoma City against Houston, the LeBron-less Lakers against the Warriors. And really, I think what people are excited about with tonight is just hearing the theme song. That's what we're pumped up about.
Right.
The famous round ball rock theme song that has disappeared from NBA basketball since 2002. It's been a long ass time. So we'll get to the basketball a little bit later on, as well as the Giants. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. But Woody Johnson met the media, really spoke, answered a few questions at an owner's meeting earlier today, and has made Jet fans even more depressed than we were prior to him speaking. He actually made it worse. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019. Justin's in Tom's River. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. Thank you, as always, for taking my phone call. Evan, I totally agree with you on a lot of points. I'm a longtime Jet fan. I'm about to be 38 this week. But the one thing I disagree with you guys about, I do think Woody is eventually going to have to sell the team. And hear me out on this. Outside of making the astronomical amount of money these owners make, what is the point of owning a franchise if you can't even enjoy the pros of the franchise? He can't show his face in public. He's berated by the franchise. He's berated in the media. What is the point of owning the team?
Because eventually it turns around and they win, and then he becomes the hero.
He hasn't been able to. He's proven that. He's egotistical. He doesn't get the fan base. He makes rash decisions. He's not a good owner.
Justin, here's where I think you're missing the boat, and I would too. I'm not a billionaire who owns a toy. I'm not a billionaire who probably gets treated pretty well by 97% of the people that run into him. Like, I don't think Woody Johnson walks the streets of New Jersey and gets berated.
No, he doesn't. And because he's either isolated in New Jersey or in Palm Beach.
Right.
And so he's not.
That's a part of it.
He's not around.
And he also
owns other sports properties.
But I also think humans as general, like what we say on social media or on sports talk radio, don't represent what we're going to say if we're walking down the street. And most of it is just because you're a good human.
Yes.
Like, if you walk across the street from Woody Johnson, are you really screaming, sell the team, the Jets suck?
Absolute buffoon, like, idiot.
I'm not saying he doesn't get any of that, but the idea that he can't walk the streets is, I don't think that's accurate. And so I think the way Justin framed it, that, well, why would you want to own a team?
Mm-hmm.
You'd want to own a team because it's this toy that you have.
Right, and there's a chance that you do get it right, and you become the hero when they win a championship, or at least get close to it, and all of a sudden things turn, you find your quarterback, and it's a great product to go to. Then it becomes even more lucrative than it already is.
Look, I'll never forget this with the Wilpons, because we would take calls all the time. They got to sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell people, I'm not disagreeing that it wouldn't be great if he did.
It was different for baseball, though, especially for them. Because it felt like they were struggling to own the team.
No, you're right. And they didn't invest the finances that they used to and that they needed to. I'm not saying that it didn't have a bigger impact on Woody. What I'm merely saying is, as a fan and a talk show host, I would always tell people, there's nothing we can do to change this.
Mm-hmm.
Until that magical, magical moment when Tiki Barber reported that Jeff Wilpon and Fred Wilpon were thinking of selling the team. But until then, there was no sign of it.
No, you're right.
And in the case of Woody Johnson, we can get all angry about these things, and we have a right to, and we'll voice it on Sports Talk Radio. But the idea that this is leading to him selling the team is a fantasy.
Yeah, it's not happening. The only way that any portion of the team is going to get sold is to take money off of the investment for Woody. And so he'll bring in a minority owner. They probably already, I don't even know if they do have minority owners. Maybe they do. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But that's why teams get sold in part, never very much in whole. I'm trying to think of the last one that was sold in whole. And I know the Giants just sold 10%. I can't think of one off the top of my head right now that was sold in whole.
It wasn't the Commanders?
Oh, no, Denver. Wasn't Denver? Yeah, well, that was forced. The Commanders was forced. That was different. I think Denver was sold in whole. So, I mean, it very rarely happens.
Let's go to Dave in Seaford. What's up, Dave? Hey, Dave.
My question isn't why. I don't know what you guys are thinking. Woody Johnson is amazing. I was riveted. His speech telling us that we suck and we just keep watching was great. I don't know how Donald Trump let this guy go. Imagine him overseas talking to other countries. America stinks. We do whatever we want. We go wherever we want. Keep buying McDonald's. Drink Coca-Cola.
There's a McDonald's in every stop you go to. Doesn't matter whether you're in Greece or Italy. You can find a McDonald's.
Dave has a right attitude. All you can do right now is laugh. It's either cry or it's laugh. Let's go to Mike in Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Gentlemen, hello.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, hi. First time, long time, though. I've been listening to him since day one.
Nice.
You guys are the best.
Nice. Thank
you.
Thanks.
Really quick, it's about the quarterback. There's no way of trading for a quarterback anywhere in the NFL, or maybe going to Stop and Shop and finding somebody there that plants some bags. This is ridiculous.
It seems like you're getting a replacement coming very soon. Hasn't been announced by the coaching staff, but it basically sounded like Woody was taking a dump on Justin Fields.
He was. And Tyrell Taylor is going to be the quarterback, but I think the problem we're running into, and this is what really pisses me off, we are running into the same spot the Giants were in. Now, it looks like it's going to work for the Giants because Jackson Dart looks like the freaking truth.
Yeah.
But you never want to be forced to draft a quarterback.
Right.
You want to draft, and if you love the quarterback, take him. You never want to be in a spot in which the proverbial gun is to your head that you have to take one. And the New York Jets are in a spot where they're picking first, the second, third, wherever they're picking, they're taking a quarterback. And I'd like to share something that is really starting to piss me off. And I'm going to do my best to not let it bias me, not let it affect my conversations with you or my conversations with Sean and Tommy. But I want to play you something that Vic Fangio said earlier today, and he's so freaking right. And it is starting to bother me every week that goes by. Because if you go back to this past draft, even though we all assumed the Jets weren't taking a quarterback, which they didn't, I would say to you, boy, if there's a good one there, they should take one. They don't have one on this roster. Now, I admit, the guy I liked was Shedeur Sanders, and the jury is still out.
Right, he has not played a snap yet.
We don't know. I wasn't in love with Jackson Dart. I didn't hate Jackson Dart. I didn't know. But listen to what Vic Fangio said about the lessons he's learned facing Jackson Dart this season.
One lesson's learned, and the teams that need quarterbacks that bypass them, they're going to regret that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are going to regret that. So you asked me 2 weeks ago, Sean, when are Jet fans going to be pissed off about it? Yeah. I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Because he was there. The Jets always knew Justin Fields wasn't the answer. The idea that they didn't have eyes wide open looking for a quarterback in the first, second, or any round is beyond me. Why? Because they believed Justin Fields was going to be the real deal. It took 7 weeks for the owner to take a massive number two on him publicly.
But I think that was a value. That was a flaw in scouting. And maybe that's because of the transition of GMs. I don't know what the scouting situation was like with the Jets after Joe Douglas was fired and Muji was coming in. They didn't know. Like, who knows? How can you be perfectly sure when after January your GM is gone and fired and now you have a new one and he's got to try to evaluate all of these quarterbacks? And by the way, last year was not a strong QB draft, but then, you know, because Jackson Dart was the second quarterback taken. At 23, it was Cam Ward, and you didn't see another quarterback until Jackson Dart went, and that was the Giants trading up to go get him because they loved him. And then you got to go to Tyler Shuck, who was in the second round, was the next one after that, and he hasn't seen a snap yet. So I don't think the Jets went into the 2025 draft saying, this is quarterback rich, like 2026 is going to be. Even if they're not ideal, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks in next year's draft. I think you looked at this draft and said, who do we take? Cam Ward's going at number one. Who else is there left? And Jackson Dart, nobody expected him to be as good as he's been to start his tenure with the New York Giants.
They still could have drafted him.
Of course they could have.
It's all a fair explanation, they still could have drafted him.
To me, I think this is the transitioning of a front office. You're just not prepared to spend all of that resource on a quarterback that you haven't fully scouted or taken.
Well, I'll tell you this about Jackson Dart and anyone they select next year. Being the guy to turn this disaster of a franchise around isn't going to just take height, skill, arm strength. Yeah. It's going to take a personality.
Of course.
Like, you are going to have, dare I say it, a Dartian personality. Like, I'm being honest with you. Because the job of being the savior, the same savior mantle that Sam Darnold had and Zach Wilson had and Mark Sanchez had and Geno Smith had, I mean, heavy that lies the crown.
No doubt.
Like, that is, I'd argue, the toughest spot to be in. Like, this guy, no offense to Jackson Dart, he was here to replace Daniel Jones, and oh yeah, we had Eli Manning a few years earlier. Like, you've already had a franchise quarterback. Taking over the Jet job as the franchise quarterback is probably the most difficult job in human history. And it's not just going to be skills.
I would say the Browns are probably there, too.
Maybe. I'm in no mood to give any other team or city, like, you know, any conversation about this, but you're right.
The problem is the Browns had their guy. They just kind of disrespected him.
I know.
Baker Mayfield.
Because Baker Mayfield has that personality, too. Like, honestly, 100%. Like, Baker Mayfield would have been the personality to save the New York Jets, or at least help turn it around.
You don't think Jared Goff, having to do what he did in Detroit when they traded Matt Stafford for him and uplifting that whole franchise, who hasn't won squat in 50 years, wasn't a big deal, too?
He also had been to a Super Bowl before that.
All I'm saying,
in
though,
fairness,
is
he was, yes.
It's going to be a challenge, but it's only a challenge until you find the guy. Then you could quickly forget how big a challenge it was.
And you laid out a fair reason for why they didn't draft Jackson Dart, but understand what history is always going to tell us. History will always tell us, much like the New York Giants passed on Josh Allen, you had to deal with it. Now, when you find your guy, you're over it, right? Doesn't matter anymore. But until you find that guy, history will always tell us that the New York Jets could have selected the guy who's turning the New York Giants around.
This is true.
That is true.
I'm just telling you, it just wasn't, I forgot what this draft was like. It's just not a quarterback heavy draft. There was one in the second, two in the first round, one in the second round. Two in the third round, Dylan Gabriel and Jalen Milroe, who hasn't, obviously he's not playing in Seattle. I don't know if he ever will up there. And then you just, you can't even find them.
I got you.
I got you. It just wasn't quarterback rich.
I understand.
And you just hadn't had a staff be able to do the diligence on the quarterbacks enough to say, we're going to take him in the first round.
Well, as a wise man once said, they better get it right next year.
100%.
Let's go to Ben in Rochester. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Tiki. Hey, Evan, appreciate what you guys are saying, but Tiki, in the open, I thought you might have been a little off the mark talking about Woody's comments on Justin Fields. Are we sure he wasn't talking about Justin Fields' Madden rating?
do we know his Madden rating?
Yeah, it's crappy, too.
Is it?
I guarantee
you. We got to find this out.
Now, I think I remember how Madden ratings work. I'm going to guess. Don't give me the answer.
It's not based on what we're seeing now.
No, it's coming into the season. Yes. I bet you Justin Fields' Madden rating was an 81.
Justin Fields is just straight up ass.
That's my prediction. Coming into the season, 81. See how accurate I am. I used to play Madden all the time. I used to be young one day. There was a moment where I was young and cool. Never cool. Just young and doing stuff like playing Madden or running around in my backyard, pretending I was Willie Mays making over-the-shoulder catches. It's a long time ago, but I did do it. Now, you let me know when you get
74.
74?
Wow. That was coming into the season. It rose after week one, and it's back down to a 74.
Oh, wow. So they do change the rating based on weeks.
It went up to 76 after week one for a couple.
What is Tyrod Taylor's Madden rating? This is going to be the real answer to all of this. And after you're done with Tyrod Taylor, give me Jackson Dart and Russell Wilson. Those are very important. I'm going to guess Tyrod Taylor's Madden rating is 71. It's actually going to be lower than Justin Fields. Career backup, sad injuries.
69.
Nice. Yes. Who saw that coming?
That's a great one.
And now give me Dart and Russell Wilson. Just jump in whenever you have it. We'll move on with the show.
Dart, 72.
72.
Yep.
Below Justin Fields.
But that's coming in as a rookie.
That was coming in.
But what is it now?
We don't know because it doesn't change.
It does. Sean was saying it changes week to week.
Does it?
Yeah, he's a 72 now. It's up from a 71.
It only went up 1 point.
They haven't risen it enough yet.
Boy, I tell you.
But remember, they change. I believe they change monthly.
Ah, okay. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. Let's go to Kenny in Staten Island. What's up, Kenny?
What's going on, guys? Listen, before I get to my Shedeur Sanders point, Woody Johnson, the comment he made is just asinine. Saying that we're just trying to complete a pass. as an owner, how do you make that statement? It's just ridiculous what comes out of his mouth. Now, you're going to get your wish, Evan, about Shador Sanders. Because here's my prediction.
Go.
Jets' next home game is against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, but if he does, Shador Sanders right now is listed as the number two quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to come in the game and light it up, and all the Jet fans are going to be cheering for him. And that's typical Jet-like scenario, and I could see it happening, and it'll just be riveting if he comes in the game.
Not me.
It'll be, you know, and it'll just prove that the Jets got to stop drafting.
That'll be painful.
Well, because
they got to start drafting quarterbacks. You got to just throw something at the wall,
Kenny,
in the draft.
Kenny, you hit it right on the head. And that was the other point I made during the draft. And I get your point, Teague, about,
as he fell.
Well, it, really in general, because right. This was even before he fell. My point was, it is so difficult to find the right guy. It's okay to me to take multiple cracks at it, to draft one this year, to draft one next year, to draft one even the year after that. I don't think that's crazy. And when Shador ended up falling, to me, it was malpractice for the Jets not to bring him at some point.
Right.
Why? Because they were so confident in Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor?
Shador Sanders' Madden rating is 66.
That's disrespect.
That's as bad as the GMs.
Look, I wanted the Jets to draft Shador. I brought up to you 2 weeks ago about trading for him, and you correctly said they're not looking to trade him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Sean, I said, talk to your friends in Cleveland. What do they think of him out there? And remember what you told me? They love him.
They do.
They think he's getting a shot this
year. They said everybody outside of Cleveland hates him. The Browns and the fans love him, and they want him to get a shot.
So my fantasy...
Why are they still playing Dylan Gabriel, then?
That's what they don't seem to figure out.
Right, yeah. From the fan base standpoint.
Yes, from the fan base standpoint.
Because maybe the front office and the coaching staff disagree with the fan base.
Well, they also took Gabriel first. Don't you have to give him the first crack?
Yeah, they took him, but it was only in the third round, and they took Shador in the fifth round?
Okay, but
is that right?
Yes, but if you're a regime like Kevin Stefanski and you start Shador Sanders over Gabriel, isn't the immediate question, why do we use a third-round pick on a guy that you're starting a fifth-round pick over?
Yeah, but this comes down to the conversation, brief one, that we had yesterday about Jackson Dart and Russell Wilson in the preseason. Shouldn't it be a meritocracy?
It should be.
Shouldn't it be who gives us the best chance to win and who legitimately wins the job? And if you're not coaching that way, what are you doing?
It should be. Unfortunately, I think we live in a world where GMs go out of their way to keep justifying bad decisions.
Very true.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'd make a bad decision. I'd trade for him tomorrow.
Mm.
If that's a bad decision, call me crazy.
It's not going to hurt you unless you end up giving something away. But I think we had this conversation a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't think the Browns want to trade him.
No, and I think you're right about that. But here's the problem that Jet fans are running into. This season is boring. It is. Mm. And while I'm not in favor of entertainment just for entertainment, like Joe made the case yesterday about Aaron Rodgers coming back. Great. It would have been more entertaining. If we're on our way to a 7-win season, what does it really mean? I want entertainment that could also possibly provide something for the future. Watching Tyrod Taylor quarterback provides nothing for the future.
True.
It just doesn't. Like, would I like to see the Jets win a few games? Of course. But in terms of the quarterback position, it provides nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing in another lottery ticket, because clearly the Justin Fields lottery ticket has failed, would, as a Jet fan, excite me. Like, if you told me, and I think you are right, Teague, again, for the record, the Browns are not trading him. But if they did, would I be pumped up as a Jet fan to watch this guy quarterback for 5 weeks to find out if we have something?
You'd be interested because you don't know.
Correct.
And the not knowing is what makes it compelling, even when it's bad.
Because right now we know.
Yeah.
I mean, they should start Tyrod Taylor because he gives them the best chance to win. And I do think it's important for the Jets to win a few games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Tyrod Taylor. He's 36, 37. He's not the future.
Would you trade a day three pick for Tua at the deadline?
Oh.
No.
Okay, I only say that because you want to talk about lottery.
He's not officially benched yet.
No, I know.
But it feels like Quinn Ewers is going to get that job at some point.
Exactly. I'm just throwing that out there.
The answer is no, because there's finances associated with it. If you're telling me you're cutting him and it costs me nothing, sure, why the hell not?
Waiver wire, then that's different.
A little bit different. Let's go to Charles in Mahwah. Hey, Charles.
Hey, guys. I'm a big fan. Tiki.
What's up, man? Thank you.
Big Jet fan. Big torture Jet fan. And I'm just convinced that nothing's going to happen with the Jets until two things happen. Woody just hands it off to a very strong GM and just stays away and shuts his mouth and say, you run things, or he sells the team. Because Woody Woody Johnson is Nepo baby quadruple. This guy is so far removed from what a Jet fan is. He is the exact opposite. So you walked. I mean, I went to the Commissioner's Club a few months back. I got invited. I saw an executive in the elevator, and he was like this frail, skinny guy. And he's like, "How you doing, guys?" And I want to see like a big, tough guy with no teeth. You know what I mean?
You were going really well till that part. Like, who cares about his body type?
It doesn't matter what he looks like. It just matter what his acumen is.
Yeah.
Is he a deal maker? That's all that really matters.
Right. The one thing I'm not sure of, and I'm hoping this is the case, and even if it is the case, still doesn't mean anything good, is he allowing Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn to make decisions? Like, all he said today was he hugs Aaron Glenn every day, mm-hmm. which means he sees him every day. But it doesn't appear as if he's coming into the office suggesting quarterback changes.
No.
Like, I think Aaron Glenn made the quarterback change.
Well, that's the one thing that he said he was going to do when he hired Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, that he was going to just be the owner. He was going to stay away and not be involved in the personnel day-to-day decisions that govern a team. And you kind of have to do that when you're an owner, especially if you trust the guys that you hired. Now, if you don't trust them, then you start getting involved.
And that's what I think usually happens. He hires people, gives them time to run the team, and after 2 or 3 years, when the losing continues, then he gets handsy.
Yeah.
That's usually the track record of Woody Johnson. Is he handsy right now? I don't know. But right now, it's not working.
Well, other than announcing that Justin Fields isn't going to be the quarterback.
Right, but
though he didn't actually announce that.
He didn't announce it, but what I also don't know is Aaron Glenn pulled him on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think it was obvious to a lot of us that it was over. Because a week earlier, Aaron Glenn was not only lecturing Brian Costello about asking a quarterback change question, mm-hmm. he also went on to say something really important. He said it wouldn't be fair for Justin Fields to always look over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pull him, that to me means I'm not going to have him have to look over his shoulder because he ain't going to be the starter.
Yeah, now it's not about fairness because it's about now we have to figure out who's best giving us a chance to win.
Yes.
Not I got to protect my quote-unquote starting quarterback.
For the Giant fans that want to add a receiver, we may have the answer on who they should add and could add in the next 2 weeks. We'll give you the specific name next, plus more of your calls from angry Jet fans at 888-808-1019. It is Evan and Tiki on a very busy Tuesday.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.